You have your Bibles with you this morning. Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10. You know, the Lord's just has me on this subject of hearing and seeing and receiving. Perception is something that we see or understand. I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this message this morning. Jonathan and Amber Phillips came to my mind. That she's expecting. And I said something to her the other night. I'm just going to make it public. I said, 8 is enough. And she's like, okay. No, but actually now Amber is carrying a child, and there's an expectation. There's an anticipation of the baby coming, okay? And I believe that God wants to impregnate us with his word to birth something, to bring something forth, amen? That every time we gather together, we gather with purpose. It's not just because that's what we do on Sundays, amen? That God wants to, as we sing to brought him glory, he takes us also from glory to glory by the Spirit of God, amen? And the glory comes from revelation and understanding. The more understanding and revelation that we have, the further we can go. And that doesn't mean that God loves you right where you're at, you know, that we grow all together. So God wants to speak to each and every one of us today through the preaching and teaching of his word, okay? So in Acts chapter 10 this morning, in verse number 34, I'm just going to wait for a couple more people to make it back. Just bear with me a minute. We'll chat about 8 is not enough. No, but we have another family that's going to have a child in the congregation too. You have to wait for them to tell you. It isn't my wife and I. Even though her hair is turning black and she's getting younger. Hallelujah. We shared that last week. Jackie woke up one morning. She had a black streak in her hair. Their hair's turning back black. And then all underneath the back, it's turned black too. Amen. I have no hair. She has black hair. Something ain't right with that, right? Hallelujah. But look with me in Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. The Word of God says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.' The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that as he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." And the King James Version says quick there comes from the Greek word zeo, which means the living and the dead, okay? "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And then they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, 'Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Today, for this morning's message, I'm going to focus your attention on verse number 38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. This morning I want to speak to you. The title of this morning's message is The Perception of Conception. And I want to talk to you about three things out of this text today: the anointing, the appointing, and the adjoining. Okay? The anointing, the appointing, and the adjoining. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration today, together in the house of God? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here today to accomplish something in each and every one of our hearts and each and every one of our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. As your word goes forth, we pray that faith fills this atmosphere and that the word becomes, that the word is activated, and you achieve what you sent it here to do. So, Lord, my prayer this morning, Lord, is help me to get out of your way. Help me be open for you to speak to me, to the people today. May they hear your voice clearly, and when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many are followers of Jesus? Okay, let's see if we have followers of Jesus in the room. So what we're going to do today, we're going to follow Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. First, he has the anointing. He has the power. It's been instilled from him from the Father. So look with me in your word to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. When you're there, say amen. Chapter 9, verse number 1 says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which have given such power unto men. I see three things that took place here. First, Jesus remitted his sin. Now, he recognized this man. He said, thy sins be forgiven you. Sometimes, and I'm not saying necessarily that it was this man's sin that brought his sickness and his disease, but God, through Jesus Christ, pointed it out and spoke to the sin first. He said, I forgave your sins. Now you can be healed. When God forgave you and I our sins, when our sins were removed, they were removed as far as the east is from the west, not to be remembered again. God forgave them. And then it opened up the door of salvation where healing and restoration can come to the body of Christ. There was another thing about this situation that I recognized, that Jesus had discernment. In other words, Jesus discerned the hearts of those that were gathered around. the Jews and the Pharisees were calling him a blasphemer. Who are you to forgive? Who are you to say that men's sins can be forgiven? But God, in the midst of all of it, no matter what the adversity was around him, Jesus still chose to heal the man that was sick with the palsy. The people that carried them there, they had faith to bring him. Then necessarily it might be the sin was the faithlessness of the one with the palsy. But the ones that had faith stood in the gap for him to bring them to Jesus. Amen. And as I was looking at this, Jesus has power to pardon. Pardon, remove, remission of sins. When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, they were removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Amen? I don't know about you, but I had a full book. Hello? And when Jesus wiped his blood across that book of my sins, that book was cleared up. Amen. In other words, I got a clear page. I got a do-over. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward because I got my brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So I've got something to live for. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. For I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living because he lives. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw that power to pardon. Jesus once said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Recognize that he has all power because God said he has anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. Secondly, if you turn with me to John chapter 20, we find some things as followers of Jesus. Do we have any followers of Jesus in the room? Hallelujah. The Word of God says in John chapter 20, Jesus is appearing after he arose from the dead, before he ascended to the Father. And he comes in, and he comes in the room in verse 21. And then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then he said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, I don't have the power to forgive anybody's sins in this room. He does. But God said he's reconciled us to him by Christ Jesus, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we lead people to the one that forgives. We lead them to the one that removes. We lead them to him. He is the one. So yeah, we're not going to blaspheme the Lord. Like I'm not going to hear your confessions and say that you're forgiven. That's between you and the Father. But we're going to offer up to you the ministry of reconciliation. God wants to reconcile all things to himself and has given us that ministry. Are you with me? So, that same power, that same Holy Ghost and power God has given unto us. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying this. He had power to remit. We have power to reconcile through the ministry of reconciliation. He had power to discern. We have to discern what we're praying for. Amen? And we're going to get into this a little bit. Sometimes things aren't healed or set right because we're not praying according to what's wrong. You know, in other words, sometimes we're praying about the effect instead of the cause. Sometimes God wants to get to the root, and as he gets to the root of the matter, he destroys the root. I had a tree that was growing beside my garage, and I had this guy, a family member, bring his backhoe in and dig up all around the garage and take this tree up. Amen. And then I was talking to this other man about removing a tree along a foundation. And he said, well, all you got to do is drill a hole in it and put some Roundup in it, in the hole, and the Roundup will kill the root of the tree. It goes all the way to the root. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to get to the root of the matter, not just the effects of the matter. Amen. So many times we're just dealing with the ripples instead of the cause. Amen. We saw that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and you and I, we have power to help to offer the ministry of reconciliation. We have discernment, and he also says we have power to heal. He said, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. I'm just saying. Turn me to John chapter 10. Here's what Jesus said, power to pardon. Amen. You know, he had power to pardon sins. He has all power that's in his hands. He had power over death. I want you to understand, the devil could not touch him unless Jesus allowed him to. Hello? Look with me in John chapter 10, verse number 18. Listen to the words of Jesus. Now if we get into this and we say life and death are in the power of the tongue, they that love it eat the fruit thereof. I have the power to speak life, or I have the power to speak death. I have the power to take authority over, I have power in the name of Jesus to take authority over death. Hello? Hello? Death did not have dominion over Jesus. Satan did not have dominion over Jesus. The Word of God says every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. The Word of God says in John 10, 18, Jesus said this. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. And in other words, God wants you to understand something. By the power of God, you have power, not only you have power to discern, you have power over sickness, and you have power over death itself. Hallelujah. Many can't receive this because they've been told about death too much. Lives of the Bible. Scripture that's taken out of context. Scripture that says that you're going to live 70 years. That's what's promised to you. I have been in many funerals and, oh, they were 72. They got all the years that they had because the Bible says 70 was given to them. That's not the truth. We're in the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant of Abraham is 120 years. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a middle-aged man. Amen. I'm just a few days over being halfway there. But, you know, I don't want to be around at 120 unless I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Hello? I don't want to be broke, poor, and sick. And God's given me everything I need. You know, there was a word that went forth to step in to receive something. I got something here today. I got something here today. Amen? And I ain't going to let the lying devil take it from me. Amen. God wants you to understand he has something. He keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And you know what? Sometimes it comes outside of what we're used to. I could see John the Baptist coming in and speaking repentance. I'm just going to do this. Come up here. This is John DeLewis. This is John DeLewis. You know, to some, you know, when you're standing in a church, well, he doesn't have a shirt, he doesn't have a tie, he doesn't have this or he doesn't have that. It's just what's inside of him. Man looks at the outward, but God's looking at the heart. God was speaking to this young man today. Amen. I'm not saying you look like someone that's coming out of the wilderness or nothing, but you kind of look like it. No, but I say that in love. And when God shows up, listen to me. I want you to get a hold of something. God's going to show up in so many ways, and it's going to come through people you never thought it would come through. They're going to look a little different. They're going to act a little different. Amen. They might come from a different mold than you came from, but they still got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In other words, we need to be sensitive and open. You can go, John, unless you have something to preach. give John DeLewis a hand clap. Hallelujah. In other words, and I'm not saying this in a wrong way. I'm just saying, I don't win anybody through the Lord from wearing a tie or a suit. I wear a suit and a tie just because I choose to. I don't have to. There's no one in this place can make me wear a suit. I do it because I dress up. That's the way I was raised. I dress up and go to church. I was raised as a child, dressing up and going to church. I guess it got into me. Amen. I mean, we used to line up. And you know something? The only thing, we used to line up all 9 kids at the door before we left the house. And Dad would come and check one thing. He would check and see if our ears were clean. Seriously, I'm telling you, that's what he would check. He didn't say, let me smell your breath. He didn't say anything. He checked our ears. We stood in the line. He went to check their ears to see if our ears were clean. I guess my father wanted us to hear everything that someone had to tell us that day. And maybe because he was the preacher. I can't clean the congregation's ears, but I can make sure your ears are clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Is it okay to have a good time in church? Amen. Man, this isn't supposed to be a boring time. I mean, God is so awesome and so magnificent. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to understand in Acts 4:33, he says this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They witnessed, huh? That's right. They witnessed the resurrection. They were walking in resurrected life. Hallelujah. And great grace was upon them. Amen. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care where you've been. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Hallelujah. God loves you. He hasn't changed his mind concerning you. He has a plan in your life, and that plan's for good. God has a great plan for you. You have hope and you have future. Hallelujah. Amen. You're the head, not the tail. You're blessed coming in and going out. The favor of the God is on you. And it may not seem like it at the moment. You may seem like you're going through the pits of hell, but this too shall pass. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. All the promises of God are yes and amen. He has done it before. He'll do it again. He's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you know what this is in here? This is a Holy Ghost pep rally. Can somebody just give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And if you're a child of God, that anointing's upon you. That he's anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with power. Well, what did Jesus do with it? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good and healing all. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I put this, and I have this as the appointment. So turn with me to John chapter 9. Verse number 1. Jesus, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man, or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned, nor his parents. Not everything's a generational curse, okay? Not every sickness and disease is because of a sin that you've committed. A lot of sickness and disease in this world is because of sin itself in this world. Not about the person or the parents. Jesus said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then Jesus said this. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. the night cometh when no man can work. Now the day represents opportunity. In other words, and night represents the loss of opportunity. In other words, Jesus says, I'm manifesting the works of the Father while it's day, while I have the opportunity, because the time's coming when that opportunity won't be there any longer. Amen? And so he says this, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had spoken this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And Jesus said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You know, the Lord says this, that sometimes faith without works is dead being alone. In other words, God called the blind man to take an act of faith, to take a step of faith. He told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes, and he saw. Well, Jesus, in his wisdom and his healing power, could have healed him right there. But he set that for you and I. Sometimes he gives us a step to take. And I believe if the blind man did not go and wash his eyes at the pool of Siloam, he'd just been a blind man with dirty eyes. Hallelujah. Because God gave him instructions of what to do. That's why you and I and the body of Christ need to be sensitive when the Father says, move, that we move. Let me say this to you. If somebody comes up to me and says, the Lord gave me a word and says, step up here, and I don't see any harm or no foul in the world, and it aligns with the Word of God, I'm going to take a step. What happened if it didn't happen? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm moving in faith. Faith is the things I'm hoping for. Hallelujah. If I'd like that word that was spoken with riches and wisdom and strength. Hey, I need riches to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. I need wisdom to do what God wants me to do. And I need strength to do it. Hallelujah. So when the word goes forth, we need to be sensitive. Just like Jesus told the man to go to the pool and wash his eyes. Didn't make any sense. I'm sure it made a lot of sense to everybody around who says, oh, you're blind? Let me get some mud and rub in your eyes. Did it go outside of normal? You know, that wasn't normal, right? But Jesus did it. He gave it. And then faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, sometimes God tells us to act on our faith and take a move of faith. Amen? Why are we saying this? Hey, this happened today. There's no condemnation in Christ. Maybe you didn't get up. Maybe you didn't move. And God isn't here to beat you up because you didn't get up or you didn't move. But what God is saying, hey, when the Spirit of God is moving and words start coming forth, just start walking. Amen? It can't hurt a thing. It can't hurt a thing. There's no harm, no foul. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes he might just tell you, you're having a problem with your hip. And all of a sudden God says, start jumping. Jumping? I mean, since I got a problem with my hip. But all of a sudden you start jumping and your hip starts moving. You know, just do whatever God says. Amen. Amen. Okay. Turn me to Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In verse 34, it says that he healed many that were sick of the diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. In other words, there was discernment. He talks about disease and demonic forces. It's discerning which, not every sickness is a demon. You know, there's cause and effect. The Word of God says, God is not mocked, whatsoever we soweth, that shall we reap. You know, sometimes we've sowed corruption to our bodies and we brought corruption from what we sowed. That's Hallelujah. Amen. But when I was thinking about this, he says, and he suffered the devil not to speak. And I was reminded in Acts chapter 19, when the sons of Sceva tried to cast out the demon out of the possessed man, and the demon spoke. Wait a minute, understand this verse. Sceva, in the Greek, S-C-E-V-A, Sceva, means left hand. The goats are on the left hand, and the sheep are on the right. This goat tried to cast this demon out. And the demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible says that spirit jumped on them, the seven sons, and they left there naked and filled with forces. Let's put it like that. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 5, Acts 5, verse 16. The word of God says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelt in his apostles. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. You know, it's kind of interesting that he said how when Peter is speaking and the Holy Ghost is getting ready to fall on Cornelius and his family, the Word of God says, he said, and how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Whether it was demonic or whether it was physical or disease, he healed every last one. Amen? So is God our healer? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are we here? All right. And one of the key points is this also, he said, and God was with him. And God was with him. Look with me in John chapter 3. We find Jesus is ministering to Nicodemus. And John chapter 3 verse 2, it says, then the same came to Jesus by night and said, because he couldn't come to him during the day, he'd be in trouble, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou do except God be with him. Amen? And it's so important that we get revelation and we get understanding of what Jesus is saying and what God is saying to us in his word. When you talk about healing and deliverance and ministry, it isn't even popular in the church community. Amen. But God does everything he said he's going to do. And I'm going to keep preaching it and manifesting it till it's seen and proclaimed amongst everybody. That's what this is about. This is the greatest freedom ministries is a healing and deliverance ministry. Who the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen. We're here to minister God's word. This word is life. Amen. This word is life. We ain't reading an old dead book. Amen. We're reading a word that's alive. Hallelujah. So we find in John 14, verse number 12, the word of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything according to my name, I shall do it. Yes, ma'am.
It's a 3-hour drive. I'm diabetic. I walk with the boot here. Yeah. And I don't.
All right, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. All right, 1 minute. Be right back. I took $20 from the altar offering plate.